I guess there are no prizes for guessing what my texts are going to be. I've got two of them for you, and I'm going to take them in the following order. The first is from Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And then the second text is in Psalm 68 and verse 20. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. The issues of life and the issues from death. Matters of life and death. The word issue means something which flows. You can have an issue of blood, and it means the blood flows. The Bible talks about children and grandchildren being our issue. They flow from our united lives together. The issues of the day are the issues which flow out of the situations in which we live. And the thing about issues that flow is that they have consequences. There are consequences as a result of the things that issue, that move. The issues of the day, we come to an opinion on them because they're important. They will decide the life of our town, the life of our country, the life of the globe, perhaps for years to come. So the issues are things that result in consequences of often great importance. First of all then, Proverbs 4:23, that I began with the children, keep thy heart with all diligence, or as the margin says, keep thy heart above all keeping, for out of it are the issues of life. I love those expressions in the Hebrew. The Hebrew has a real flair for them. When the Father spoke, or when the Savior spoke to Abraham, he says, in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. When I'm blessing, he says to Abraham, there's one thing I'll do, I'll bless thee more than everybody else. When I'm blessing, I won't miss you out. Not only that, I'll give you a greater blessing than everybody else. When I'm multiplying, I'll multiply you as the sands of the sea. I'll multiply you as the stars in the heaven. As you multiply, as I do multiplying of plants, multiplying of fish, I'll multiply your offspring, your issue, as the sand of the sea and the stars in the heaven. And this expression is similar. Keep thy heart with all diligence. The Hebrew says, keep thy heart above all keeping. When you're keeping, when you're defending, when you're watching, when you're guarding, whatever you have that is of value, there is one thing that should be of greater value than all those other things put together. And that is the confines of your heart. The things that go on in your heart should remain there. And you should watch them. And you shouldn't open the lid. And when you are tempted, as in all temptations, we should endeavour to resist them. Now, this is the way we should think about these things. We're told by the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 12. He speaks about the good man out of the good treasure of his heart. In Matthew 12 and verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Even down to idle words. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So there are good things that may rightly come out of our hearts. And it is correct for us to allow them to come, allow them to flourish. The fruit of the Spirit flourishing in our hearts, and so that love and joy and peace and all suffering, gentleness, goodness can all flow. And they will do good, and they will be good. But the Bible also speaks of the things that are not good, that flow from the heart. When I was young, there was a great debate going on as to the difference between things that were heredity and the things that were learned. And many people thought that most of the bad traits we had were learned traits. We weren't born with them. We were nice people when we were born. But these were things we picked up when we met with others. But the Bible teaches that we actually are born also with bad things as well as good. Now, we've been taking as the text, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And here you see every idle word. If we allow words that are pointless, meaningless, inane, words that are irrelevant, words that don't build up, to pour forth from our hearts, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So here is an issue mentioned by the Lord Jesus in the context of a bad thing that may come out of the heart. And the consequences of that one bad thing are that he will have to give an account at the day of judgment. Every idle word, he shall give account thereof. And therefore we can see that it is a matter of urgency that we fly to the Lord Jesus Christ for pardon for our sins. Notice how many idle words there have been flowing about that we've never repented of. Who knows whether tonight, before the day is finished, we shall come out with a few more. For which, in the day of judgment, we must give account. So, of course, there is great wisdom in guarding our hearts, keeping our hearts above all keeping, keeping our hearts with all diligence. Perhaps the most terrible list that the Lord Jesus speaks is in Matthew 15 and verse 18. He's talking about things that are from within. Beginning at Matthew 15 and verse 17, Jesus says this: "Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man." Now we're going to come back to that in a minute, but perhaps you no need to look it up. There's a longer list still. That list of Jesus is only representative, a sort of summary list. But listen to this: things that come out of the heart. Romans 1:29. Unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispering, backbiting, hating God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but take pleasure, that is to say, encourage others to do them as well. So these are things which come out of the heart. Now, I've often said to you, how often do you have to steal to be a thief? The answer is once. How often do you have to lie to be a liar? Well, we say perhaps twice, but the answer is not. The answer is the same. It's once. How often do we have to not keep the Lord's day to be a Sabbath breaker? The answer is just once. And these things show to us the urgency of fleeing to the Lord Jesus for pardon for our sins, because they are innumerable, and things that we perhaps never thought were sins very much defile our lives. And so when the Bible teaches us to guard our hearts, to resist the urge to do these things, to resist temptation, therefore to clamp down on evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies, these defile a man. But keep your heart with all diligence. So the Bible teaches us to clamp down on these things, to resist these things, not to allow these things to proceed from the heart to the thoughts. Now the Pharisees thought that so long as you didn't commit murder, you were not a murderer. But of course Jesus said that if you hate somebody in your heart, that's effectively murdering them from within your thoughts. So the actual thoughts are sinful, even if they don't become actions. So this is a very, very far-reaching. And it should be the act of a believer always to be holding these things in, keeping guard over the heart. But someone who's not yet converted should find the list of these things so appalling that he or she will want to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ for cleansing, for forgiveness, and for pardon. But they have consequences. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What might the issues of a murder be? The loved one, the family, left behind? I leave it to your imagination. What might the issue of lying be if they believe you and not the other person? What might the issue of evil thoughts be if you spread unclean jokes and if you tell unclean stories? It may be that there are 10, 20 other people who will then go on to do the same things all their life long and never be able to do anything else themselves. So we're told to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Tremendous consequences flow from not battening down on the things that are in our heart that are evil. Jesus says they don't, we're not keeping them from coming towards us and fending them off. He says it's the other way around. They're there. And they need to be battened down. Now that's the opposite of ancient psychology. I say ancient, 40, 50, 60 years ago, when all the urge, we were all urged to let our hair down. We were all urged to not to be repressed, to allow ourselves to do those things that we felt we'd like to do. Absolutely clean contrary to the scripture. We are not repressed if we keep the lid on these things. We are not restricted in our freedom. The world is better if our hearts are kept under control. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart, and what it does, and what it leads us to do, is full of consequences. We certainly may influence people for good or for bad, but it is the innermost sanctum, the place within us that harbours all these things, that decides how our influence is going to be. The issues of our life. What a terrible tragedy it would be if the issues of our life was non-stop destruction everywhere in our trail. If everywhere we'd been, there was mess up behind us. There are some thugs, aren't there? Who everywhere they go, when they're let out of prison, they do another murder, or they do another theft, or they do another armed robbery. But everywhere they go, it's destruction and misery are in their hands, as the scripture says, in their ways. But these things are so, so important. And it is to be feared that not only believers don't pay sufficient attention to their heart and allow themselves to run riot in all their emotions, but it's also clear that those who know that they're full of these things and have never come to the Lord for the cleansing of his blood need to do so urgently. But then the Bible also speaks of the issues from death. Unto God, the Lord, belong the issues from death. It's a wonderful thing that he that is our God, our Lord Jesus, is the God who saves. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. I suppose one of the things we like about life is that we can, to a degree, determine what we're going to do next. Plan our future. Once we die, it's totally out of our hands. We are immediately in the hands of the living God, of whom the scripture says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But once we die, we're out of our hands, out of our direction of events. What the Lord has decided will go unto the Lord. Belong the issues from death. Very interesting, isn't it? It was the issues of life, the issues that direct life, but it's the issues from death. As we've heard today, it's for a long, long time. The consequences of what the Lord directs after we die is for a long, long time. The Bible makes it clear that we ought to be right with God. There is no way that we will be able to change anything in those days. Our life will be in his hands. To God belong the issues from life. Jesus himself portrays it in a parable, this very thing, doesn't he? Do you remember in Matthew chapter 25? How he speaks of the judgment day. Matthew 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. Now, all nations means all the individuals in all those nations. He's not specifically, I think, talking about nationhood. But when he comes and sits upon the glory of his throne after his return, before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So here we have that picture that to God, to our Saviour, belong the issues from death. He himself will be directing the proceedings. We will be divided. Now many people are deceived as to their religion. They believe they're going to heaven when they're not. They may be Roman Catholics, they may be Jehovah's Witnesses, they may be Muslims, all sorts. But can you picture the scene? Here is the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe at that awesome sight, which caused even John, who loved him and leant on his bosom, to fall at his feet as dead, you realize that you never knew him. And you realize his purity. But you're not covered by his blood. And you begin to get that uneasy feeling that all is not going to be right with you. And then you begin to know that it's too late to do anything about it. You can't now put it right. You could have done, but you can't now. And then you hear those words, Depart from me, ye that have done iniquity. Go to the left. Join the goats. And at that stage there is no further judgment except the division at that time. And then you know that there is worse coming. That's only the division to separate you from the ones who are his. Flee to the Lord Jesus. But to God belong the issues from death. And the definitive verse about this whole matter is in Hebrews 9, 27 and 28. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So what may we do about the issues from death? The issues that are out of our control. The issues that are in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, in his sovereign capacity. What can we do? What is the message of the gospel? And, as it is appointed to men once to die, and after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered. Precisely because men and women are appointed to die. Precisely because after death there is judgment. Precisely because sinners will face the judgment. Precisely because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ, precisely because we shall face judgment before we die, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. The only antidote, the only correction, the only cure, the only hope of change, if we have sinned once from that day of judgment, is in Christ. As there is death, as there is judgment, and as to God belong the issues from death, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. God is the God of our salvation. And unto God belong the issues from death. And it is fearful to fall into his hands. But there is a remedy. There is a Saviour. The Lord Jesus Christ. The only one, the only name. The only man who has ever lived perfectly. The only one who could ever offer a perfect, satisfactory sacrifice to the Lord. The only one who could ever please the Father. But he upon Calvary did it on behalf of all those who were given to him. On behalf of every believer. The Lord Jesus Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. He's able to save to the end of time, every generation from the beginning. He's able to save to the uttermost. He's able to save to the uttermost from the most galling of sins, from the most terrible of sins, the most gross of sins. But he is able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Why not you? And he's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. Why don't you come? And unto them that look for him, the Saviour will appear the second time. No longer bearing sin. But he'll appear that second time when he returns to salvation. And those who trusted him will know he's for them. Those who trusted him will know that when he's sitting at that judgment, they will be among the sheep that depart to the right. And there will be a happy home prepared for them forever and ever. So we have matters of life and of death. We sometimes say that things that are really not that important are matters of life and death. By which we mean that from our perspective they're fairly urgent. On the other hand, there are real matters of life and death. But again, way above the matters of life and death of the health of our bodies is the health of our eternal souls and that long, long home and that long, long time. The issues of life have consequences. And continuing in sin, not being willing to repent before the Lord of your sin, not being willing to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, these are issues with tremendous consequences. Come and you will be saved. Rebel and you will be eternally lost. The issues of the remainder of eternity are in your hands while you're here. But once you die, to God belong the issues from death. Out of your hands then. What it was when you last knew consciousness, before you went into the coma, before you collapsed, before you lost sensibility, what it was then is what it will remain. If you were uncertain about your salvation, you can be sure that you were uncertain because there was genuine uncertainty and you were not saved. The gospel is given that you might know that you have everlasting life. So we should prepare for these things. Things of great consequence. Things that last for eternity. Things that can make it easier for us now, as well as prepare the way for heaven. But things that once this life is over, we are very much alive, but we'll be in the hands of the living God. And the consequences of unbelief will be fixed forever and forever. You don't want to put yourself in that situation. Surely you don't want to do that. Surely you don't want there to be uncertainty every day of your life till the day you die, and then the answer is no. But remember that Jesus said, you'll be very angry when you see others entering into the kingdom and you yourself thrust out. He uses his words. Don't put yourself in that situation.